Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I can tell you it's been a pretty eventful week because as of last Thursday, so we've kind of gone a whole week cycle. And as of last Thursday, I was traveling to Wyoming to the Wyoming GOP convention. And you were supposed to hear the Trevor Lawton interview on Thursday. And so I tried to prep. I know it was kind of last minute. There was just a little over a day's notice. But apparently, there's a process in getting pre-recorded shows uploaded and getting them into the queue that just apparently we need to make some improvements on the process here on Red State Talk Radio because, you know, when sometimes dynamics come up, you want to be able to make sure that the content that is pertinent is, you know, is available. Now, many of you were able to hear, you know, Jefferson's Kentucky resolutions, and at least we had content going out. And it's far better to have content going out than to have a denial of service where we got complete dead air. Because when we get hit by a denial of service, there is no connecting to the server, and there will be 1 hour of dead air. So with the past week here, I made it to Gillette, Wyoming, where the Wyoming GOP convention was, and was able to interface with a lot of people, and I met a lot of great candidates. Now, I've been asking for well over a year, trying to help everybody prepare for this big election cycle of who to vote for. I haven't gotten it up yet, but we will be posting the candidates that really need your support. Now, I know you may live in a different state, and so this this is a very hard nut to crack, or it's a bubble that is almost impenetrable by a pin to pop, because what we have to do is we need a red state to become the champion for guarding and protecting our Constitution. Because there is nobody else, it doesn't matter if it's a pop, Trump cannot get this ball going. It has to be a state. As you understand, when a subordinate within a contract, within a compact, as we have with the Constitution, and the subordinate being the federal government, goes amok and they do whatever they're going to do, the only way we can legitimately shut them down, not only at this point in time, but for good, is for the states to actually assert their authority. They are the primary principal, I'll call them stakeholders. I know that bothers some people, but they are the ones that are the principal parties to that compact. The federal government is not a principal party. They have very specific roles, responsibilities, and powers from the Constitution. But when it comes to adherence and obedience to that compact, to the Constitution, only the states have that role, that responsibility and power. They have the authority over that. They're the ones that allowed this federal government to be created by ratifying this. And they ratified it based on the definitions that this was a limited and defined government, that they could only exercise the powers that are enumerated to them. And the only way they would be able to obtain any new roles, responsibilities, and powers would be through an Article 5 amendment process where the states would have the ultimate say on whether they would allow this or not. This is one of the reasons why I point out to amendments to people that don't exist or were attempted and failed. A great example of that is the Department of Labor. Everybody understands that, oh, the federal government is regulating all this labor, but they have no constitutional standing in doing so. Did you know in 1946, Calvin Coolidge, who was a self-prescribed progressive, he was looking to make government greater and aggrandize government to be able to do more for the people. And he felt, and he was a huge champion of unions and the labor movement. So he championed the 1926 labor amendment to the Constitution, and it failed because the states recognized that if they allowed the federal government to start managing child labor, that would be their nose in the tent. That would get their foot in the door to be able to start regulating other things. And here's the funny thing. Over a decade, almost two decades prior, I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt that actually created, with help of Congress, the unconstitutional Department of Commerce and Labor. So all Coolidge was trying to do was he's trying to legitimize, because he knew that it needed to be legitimized in the Constitution. So that's why he said, well, let's do this. This goes back to the article that I've published regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It's the unknown teeth within the Constitution. That's the title of this article. But it goes back to exactly what they were trying to do post-Civil War. Congress tried to pass a Civil Rights Act, and it was rejected. It was vetoed by the president. So Congress went right back to the, you know, to vote on the Civil Rights Act of 1866, and they actually overturned the veto. They had a veto-proof bill that went out. And if you read the Civil Rights Act of 1866, this was the first Civil Rights Act ever. And if you read it, they recognized that it did not give the federal government or grant the federal government the ability or the power to engage in anything other than the enumerated powers. Well, so right after they had this thing done and signed by both houses of Congress and it was declared law, well, it was only really declared law in the District of Columbia. Because you got to understand, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17 in the Constitution authorizes Congress exclusive legislation for the District of Columbia. So they can pass any law. They can pass a healthcare law. But it's only applicable to the District of Columbia. They cannot pass any laws that are not within the enumerated powers and have them applied to the states. Here's the problem. Too many people within the states, oh, well, the federal government's doing this constitution, we got to do this. And they just embrace this unconstitutional crap. So anyway, as we look at all of these different things that the federal government has done, the only way we're going to get these things undone is by getting Republic Review kickstarted. We have to get a state. And I'm telling you, after being at the Wyoming GOP convention this past weekend, there's no doubt in my mind, there are good men and women that are ready to start enforcing the Constitution. But the problem is that they're going up against rhinos. There's no doubt that the people of Wyoming are really frustrated and upset. They have this thing in Wyoming called crossover voting that allows a voter to declare whatever party they want and be able to vote in the primary of the opposing party. And this is how they constantly ensure that they get either a moderate or a Democrat in office. This is why Harshman and all of these, if you actually start doing the research, you'll find all of these Republicans and all of these Republicans in Wyoming are literally turncoat treasonist Republicans. They have a Republican name, but they're rhinos. They're Republican in name only. And in many of the things that they're doing, they're managing the communist agenda. And as you know, I mean, just you cannot acknowledge the Bolshevik revolution that's occurring. As a matter of fact, I think many religious leaders and many people that really understand history recognizes that this is, you know, I tell people the Bolshevik Revolution is not something that happens overnight like that. I mean, it is something that it gradually gains more momentum and more momentum and more momentum, and more people just get on board to, you know, sometimes people just get on board for change. And that's dangerous because it's almost like art for art's sake. You know, putting, well, you got a piece of art there. I need to put up another piece of art just to keep that art company. I mean, that's how insane some people are in making the decisions and supporting some of these radical movements like this communist revolution. If you understand what is at stake, I am going to beg, I am going to plead over the next few weeks that you, because the ballots will begin to drop, I think, mid-July. These people need to get the voice out, and they need to actually start articulating what they have to do. I am hoping, because I'm really busy and they're really busy, I'm hoping that we can actually find some time to where we can, and I'm going to get their websites up on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you know exactly where to go so that you can throw these people some love. They need our support. We need to get these people in because in doing so, we'll actually be able to unseat these rhinos that are holding back Wyoming's capability of initiating this audit and republic review. So we'll be right back after these two promos to go on about this. So please stay tuned and thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so if you haven't come to this conclusion yet, then let me help you. Because I want you to understand who our enemy is. Communism is, I mean, if you want to look at the big picture, communism is the enemy. And communism has this facade that, you know, socialism or, you know, big government, helpful, the nanny state, they have all these different facades. And in America, our biggest threat is the Democratic Party and RINOs, because RINOs are working with the Democratic Party. And so the Democrats and the communist movement has been very, very successful. That's why I hope you really enjoyed Trevor Lawton's interview. And if you go up to reclaimingtherepublic.org, just pull down that that interview, because it has Thursday's date. I had already pre-posted all of that. And so we don't have any, we won't have any podcast or any shows to air for Monday and Tuesday, because what was supposed to air, a little frustrated by it, what was supposed to air on Thursday and Friday didn't. So you got a chance to listen to some good reruns, but I want you to have current and good content. So anyway, if you don't understand, start looking at the outcome of these elections. We are seeing communist after communist after communist getting elected into the U.S. Senate, getting elected into all of these different positions, whether they be mayors, governors, or what have you. Look at all the communists. Look at all of the people that are actually committing open rebellion against our Constitution. Yeah, there's a problem with this, because it is a violation of the Constitution that they do this. This is why you really, really, really need to read this article that I have up on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to the Constitutional Perspective page. It's rough. It's 15 pages. It needs a little editing. So if you find something, let me know. I'll fix the error. But the fact of the matter is, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment requires that every public servant who violates their oath of office is no longer qualified, and requires that they be removed immediately and banned for life. Now, how many people are complaining about politicians that are doing things that have no, you know, these are violations of their oath of office? Why can't we do something about it? You can. The Constitution gives you all the teeth in the world. The problem is that everybody's constitutionally illiterate. And so what do you have to do? You actually have to start teaching your fellow public, your, you know, party members, whatever your circle is. And oh, by the way, if you don't have a circle, you better start making a circle, because we need to get this word out. Get involved in your local community. You've heard me say this all the time. Get involved in the Republican Party, because the party is the problem. In most states, the party is the problem. In the national level, the parties are the problem. But I want you to understand that if you start getting involved, you can start sharing this knowledge and getting other people to get involved. You can start reaching out and building bridges. Start working with your local militia. You should find and be able to find who is in the militia locally, at least leadership. Find out, you know, reach out to the 3%ers. Reach out to these different patriotic groups and start informing them that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is all the teeth we need to get rid of all of these bad politicians that are selling us downriver and are being managers of the globalist agenda. This is why your property rights are being taken from you, why you don't have the right to collect your water, why you don't have the right to even dig a well or to have a well put in on your property so that you could have a viable piece of property if you have property way out in the middle of nowhere. My friends, we have to start understanding that we are the problem if we are not getting engaged in the solution. This is, I know this sounds really philosophical, but it's not that deep. It's really this simple. The only way you are not a part of the problem is when you are engaged in the solution. Now, I get it. We all have to sleep, but that doesn't mean you're not engaged. When you are putting yourself out there, when you are actually telling people that we've got to stop this. Here is the facts. Here are the facts. We have a constitution that gives us all the teeth necessary. I'm telling you, if you really look at the constitution and what we have, the oath of office and the and the requirement of supporting that oath. And if you don't, you get banned. You lose your ability to be. I mean, come on. That was not just a happenstance. That was the divine hand of providence. Because you have to understand, in the very beginning of this nation, honor meant more to a man than life itself. So when you look at the paradigm of people, it was repugnant to think that I would lie and I'd be deceitful. Today, if you catch somebody in a lie, they go, oh, well, okay, I lied. So what? Everybody does it. I'm serious. We have become an amoral country, and we've become an amoral people due to godlessness and secularism. You got to remember that they're being taught, the future communists, the Bolsheviks, the useful idiots are being taught that the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter what you have to do. If you have to turn in your parents, if you have to lie, if you have to cheat, if you have to kill somebody, it doesn't matter. Now, I want you to start looking at what the heck's going on in the state. In the states, I should say. There are states that are now mandating and making it a requirement that everybody wear a burqa. Well, they're calling it a face mask, but it's the same thing. Didn't think they could get you you didn't think government would get to a point where they would make you wear a burqa. And that's where we are. And if you understand their overreach, I'm telling you, the governors do not have the power to mandate you in doing this. And what's really sad is there are businesses that are forcing this because they don't want to get a ticket. They don't want to be labeled as the bad guy. Folks, we got to start being the bad guy. We have to start doing things that we need to, everything that we need to do. And I'm telling you, the most important thing we can do in this election year is getting these good candidates elected in Wyoming. We're not talking. I want you to look at how much an election costs in your state. Throughout the United States, elections are very expensive. One of the cheapest states to get an election, in other words, the cost of advertising and the cost of winning, is the least in Wyoming. So the little bit of money that you can actually throw out to these good candidates will go much further there and have a much bigger impact. Because some of the things that they're going to institute, because I recognize that those people who love the Constitution, who want to enforce the Constitution, but they don't know that much. They don't understand the Constitution to the level that maybe, GR does or some other people. And so they're afraid that if they get caught, they could lose their position as a legislator. And so this is a real easy problem. So I've told these legislators that the first thing they need to do when they get into their session is they need to call for an office to be established, not of a lawyer or a legal office of constitutional law. They need a constitutional researcher and expert to be able to provide not constitutional law, but what is constitutional, what isn't, based on the ratification debates. The states need to start digging their heels in. The real problem, and one of the biggest contributors to how the states became bamboozled by the federal government, is that childhood experiment when you get a circle of people and everybody whispers in each other's ear, and it starts off with one thing and it ends with another. So what I am here telling you is that as the states started coming into the union, they were being told by mouth what the Constitution was. What they should have been done, what should have happened, I should say, is that the federal government and the original 13 states should have handed over the ratification debates to the new coming states to say, this is how we define the Constitution, and this is how we need to uphold the Constitution. Because the ratification debates are the terms and definitions of the constitutional contract, or of that compact, which the states are the primary parties to. So in doing that, How many states do you think would have started slipping? As a matter of fact, putting those ratification debates in the hands of the public, or I should say in the hands of the state legislators, they would have been able to be much better guardians of the Constitution, and they would have had clarity to understand they are the overseers. They are the overlords of that compact. So one of the things that we started talking about, and I was telling these gentlemen that some of them were already state legislators, some of them wanted to become state legislators, but I told them what they need to do is they need to hire and create a single seat. This is not an office. This is a single seat that you want to have somebody to be able to do the research and be the profound expert on the ratification debates. We'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So as I was saying, all we need to do is make sure that every state legislative body has their go-to James Madison to actually open up and go through the ratification debate. So anytime they want to introduce a bill, they have this LOS or LSO or something like that. And, you know, it's usually making sure that the bill is written in the right format, that it's doing, you know, whatever. It is a more of a formality. And this is where I think they have also usually legal beagles to actually make sure that, you know, they're using, you know, the right type of legal language and or the obscurity so that people don't really understand what the heck you're doing. I don't think these offices, supposedly they have this important role, but I don't believe that they are, these offices are the offices of nobility within the state. What has to happen is your state legislators need to have the go-to expert. And this becomes, you know, eventually this will become the most profound understander of the Constitution within your state. He'll be the go-to guy in the state or gal that understands the ratification debates inside and out. Now, the problem I have with folks, you know, that talk about the Federalist Papers and talk about Madison's letters, because I've actually argued with constitutional professors, you know, that teach constitutional law and, you know, history and the Constitution and so forth. I have argued with professors that have told me, oh, well, you know, Madison actually in his letters, he stated he would prefer to see the, you know, the courts take a grander role. And I go, well, that's insightful on his own personal behalf, but it has no standing in government and what, you know, what Madison stated and what they had done. It doesn't matter what Madison would have liked to have seen. What matters is what they agreed upon in this government. If they want the court to take a grander role, then Madison knew just as well as everybody else that the mechanism to get there would be an amendment to the Constitution to aggrandize the court. Technically, my friends, the court system is a passive system. A case has to come to them. And what they are doing is reaching out. And what they have done in the past, they have blindly reached down, or not blindly, they've deliberately reached down to something they had no jurisdiction in, and they brought it into federal purview, and next thing you know, abortion is illegal. They don't have any jurisdiction to declare the legality of abortion. It's not in the Constitution. And any ratification debates expert would be able to tell you that if it is not within the enumerated powers, because this is how it was constantly defined in every state, that the jurisdiction and the powers of the general government are limited to those powers that are enumerated. If it is not within an enumerated power, then they have no business meddling with it. That's George Nicholas that stated that. So this is why every state needs to have this profound researcher, and they actually can take even on, I don't want to say a greater role, but they can actually share their wisdom so that, let's say, when all of a sudden the state is looking for a crisis or you're trying to deal with a problem, whether it be a natural disaster, whether it be an economic issue or what have you, there's no reason why they can't actually ask this researcher to come forward and talk about, you know, the structure, the intent, and the definitions and the terms of the Constitution in what and how, because too many times states turn to the federal government and say, we need your help. Well, the states shouldn't be. And if the states are begging the federal government to do something unconstitutional, then they're equally culpable in the problem. And so this is why having somebody basically say, hey, you know what, we have to solve this ourselves. It's one thing to, you know, request other states assist us or what have you, but we, you know, we are an autonomous state and we have to figure out how to go forward. Just imagine all of these states that get hit with hurricanes. Just imagine what they would be doing and where we would be today in the building of homes in a hurricane-laden state like Florida. It is atrocious to think that standard homes are still being built in Florida when you know that they're going to be hit someday with a hurricane. It's almost guaranteed. So why is it that Florida allows subpar buildings to be created? Oh, I get it. Because they're going to ask the federal government for help whenever they get hit. You know, the way to fix these problems is you have to cut them off. You have to basically say, hey, this is a problem. You have all these people there and you've allowed these buildings to be built such a way that, you know, and it's going to take, if you really start looking at what it takes to make the quality of life so that it can be more resilient to the hazards of the terrain. And a great example of that is if you live on the coastline, and storms come in off of the ocean, you have probably a high likelihood of flooding, wind damage, and those types of things. And so if you don't do anything to your house to make it resilient to the conditions, the natural conditions then I'm sorry. You know, I hate to see you and, you know, anybody hurt. I don't want to see that, but come on. It's almost like, it's like standing on a car surfing down the road when, you know, with a bunch of kids, they're driving and you're standing on top of the car and just, you know, surfing, where you're literally putting your life at risk. It's the same thing. The only difference is, okay, you may not have the income or what have you. The state needs to take, you know, pull up its britches and take the adult path in stating, hey, we have to start raising our standards. So this goes down this path again of how important the state's roles are in governing us, not the federal government. Just imagine if we actually got Republic Review and we stripped away all the unconstitutional government. We were talking about this past weekend of how great it would be to see the states actually flourish. If you live in a dead state because there's no way that state can, you know, there's nothing that state is doing at that current point in time to become competitive, to have a thriving economy, then it'll become an abandoned state for a while until people start, you know, coming up with a way to attract people. Maybe it's a tech sector that needs to come in. But 9 times out of 10, if you look at how the tech sectors go, it was the same. It's over the technical revolution, it's been the same thing as the industrial revolution and the iron, or I should say the Rust Belt. That's what it was called. And if you look at the Rust Belt, why did the Rust Belt even happen? Because as manufacturers and factories stood up, they found out, oh, well, if we move south a little bit, then we can get cheaper labor. And so they kept on leapfrogging. And eventually we became a global type of economy where we started allowing American manufacturing to go abroad. Well, that's great because now we can make our products even cheaper and be more competitive. Yeah, well, that's great. However, there comes a cost to that. And we have to be willing to understand, and we don't have to accept the consequences, but we have to be willing to understand. And the federal government's responsibility is to ensure that they, you know, maintain a balance in, and I hate to say this, but they do have a commerce protection that they're supposed to protect us from that type of thing, so that if we lose the revenue or we lose that work and that segment of the economy where all of a sudden the cost is people aren't going to have jobs. Well, okay. Then we need to be able to. And as a matter of fact, in the 80s, when we started seeing Flint, Michigan and all of these different car manufacturing places shutting down, well, they started going abroad. They went down to Mexico. Why didn't they go overseas? Because Mexico's just right across the border. They can truck these vehicles right back in here and we'll be none the wiser, right? The shipping costs are reasonable. They can make a lot of money by using Mexican labor. Well, with robotics and so forth. But the problem is that actually hurts the economy. And so it's okay if a company wants to leave, but to bring that product back into the United States, there should be some extra cost to that, especially for American companies. And the federal government has all the constitutional power to be able to do that, to make a company actually weigh the decision of going, wow, this is going to cost us to do this. Is it worth it? And if you really look, the problem is that Americans tend to go with the cheaper goods. That is why there is such a thriving industry in buying the crap from China, right? So anyway, let me actually get back to how long you think it's going to take for you to get your state turned around. How long will it take for you to take your state back? I want you to think about that. We're going into the break here. Think about this. How long? You live in a blue state. You live in California. You live in New Jersey. What is it going to take for you to get that state turned around where you're going to invest heavily in the political machine. We'll be right back after this promo, and I will surprise you how we can do it faster without having to turn your state around. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what were we just asking you? So how much time do you think it'll take for you to get your state turned around? Do you think it's going to be a couple of years? Look at how many communists and how entrenched the communists are. What is your plan? Do you have an unlimited resource of money to be able to buy every seat necessary to take back the government at the state level and the county level and so forth? Your only hope is forcing compliance to the Constitution. And in doing so, what we will actually be able to do is we'll be able to run out every corrupt politician. If we start enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you'll actually be able to turn your government around instead of necessarily buying some seats. But the only way to actually do this is in a dark red state. Because you can go and we're going to be disclosing, and my next article is going to be talking about your First Amendment right of petitioning government for the redress of your grievances. That's a First Amendment right, as well as the right of your sovereigns, your county commissioners, as well as the sheriff, to be able to call and convene common law grand juries. But the problem is, if your county commissioners and your sheriff are either yellow-bellied or they're rhinos, or technically they're communists, then they're not going to do what it takes. So what is your hope? You live in a blue state. What is your hope? You live in a purple state. You're lost. Especially with this election and the voter ballots, because I'm telling you, voter fraud is huge in America. Not just voter fraud, election fraud. The difference between election fraud and voter fraud is when somebody goes out and actually fills out a ballot and they lie. They lie who they are. They fill out multiple ballots. That's voter fraud, when an individual voter commits fraud. Election fraud is when the election system, the election managers, those people who are supposed to make sure that the election is clean, fair, and, you know, not being subverted by, you know, boxes of bad ballots being injected. Election fraud. And see, it was an indictment when I had seen in states before, in Washington state, several times in many states, where boxes of ballots were found in the trunk of a car and then were automatically counted. That is election fraud. Because those who are managing the election process are, you know, literally, they, instead of challenging these ballots and instead of challenging and going after the people that had it in their car, how many times? Go do the research and tell me how many times that type of scenario has popped up and how many people were arrested for having ballots in their car when they shouldn't have had them there anyway. What were they doing there? We do not enforce these laws, and that is only because the communists have taken control, and it's not about moral and integrity. It's wink, wink, wink. Well, we want to make sure everybody has their vote, everybody has their say. And what they're telling you is it doesn't matter how you vote, it matters how they count the vote. Because that's what election fraud is, and that's exactly what Stalin was getting away with during his elections. And that's how the Communist Party seizes and maintains control. So what is it going to take? What do you believe you need? If I can write you a check today, how much? How much to save your sorry state? I'm going to tell you that if you have a few hundred dollars, that's all it would take. If everybody listening to this show had a few hundred dollars, that's all it would take to save your state. And y'all don't have to be in the same state. That's right. That's southern drawl a little bit. Y'all, no one has to be in the same state. As a matter of fact, if I had 20 players from every state, right, that would give me what? 20 times 50? Okay. If I had 20 players in every state that had a few hundred dollars and they could throw these into the election, that would be more than enough to get the results we need in Wyoming. The day Wyoming convenes and calls for an audit and starts calling on the other state is the beginning, the fire, is the day the fire begins. That is the catalyst that causes a fire that will spread across the landscape of America. Because the Wyoming legislators will be calling out to the legislators of these other good conservative states and will be working with the grassroots movement. So we want to work on both ends of the vacuum, if you know what I mean. One end sucks, the other end blows. We want to make sure that the blowing is at max capacity so that the sucking can be at max capacity as well. This is how we can actually go into the state at the top level and at the bottom level and make things happen. There's no reason, as a matter of fact, there's no doubt in my mind that the reason we are in the position we are in Wyoming is because the divine hand of providence has completely blessed what we are doing and has been helping us. And we've been getting these victories, victories, victories. But we need some big victories before it is too late. And what we do is we need your help. They're not up there yet, but I promise you by next week, you'll be able to engage. And this is where we can actually get a good surge in getting the message out to get these rhinos out. One of the things that I've been sharing with every politician, if you've got somebody that is challenging a rhino and or a communist, then what you do in the election is you tell that person that they need to call upon the tech companies to pay the revenues that they are making, pay the taxes, because these tech companies, Google, they're not paying taxes in your state and they're making money in your state. They make money by anybody buying their services. It's the same thing with Amazon. Amazon pays, as a matter of fact, let's just kind of walk through this. If you do a Google search and you click on Amazon, which is probably a paid ad, Amazon just paid Google so many dollars, cents, or what have you for that click. Same thing with Facebook. You click on a Facebook ad, you reach out, you follow anything that's paid by click, where Facebook is making their money, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all of these tech companies and tech facades that people hit all the time. And oh, by the way, if you're not paying for YouTube, then you're getting hit with commercials. So whether you're paying for commercial-free YouTube, that's money that they're generating in your state and they're not paying taxes on. Or if you are getting free YouTube and they're ramming these crappy commercials down your throat, they're getting paid for that crappy commercial to be aired for you to sit there and have to suffer through it. YouTube is making money in your state and they're not paying taxes. Now, YouTube may be paying taxes in the state of California, but they're not paying taxes in the flyover states. Google's not paying any taxes, and Facebook and the rest of these artificial intelligence supporting, communist supporting tech companies are not paying their pound of flesh in revenue. So how many of these states do you think would really be appreciative, and how many people living in these states would really be appreciative to have their taxes reduced because they're now actually going after companies, non-resident companies that are making money in their state and they're not reporting it? This is why we need to actually get champions for the Constitution. And I'm telling you that you'll find that the champions for the Constitution in Wyoming, this list I'm going to give you, this is the way we need to go. I love Brian Miller, who is running for U.S. Senate. He's been on this show before. And Brian Miller he wants to champion federal law to ensure that tech companies that are making revenue, not just sales tax, but they're making revenue in your state, they're paying business tax for that. Especially these non-residents that are not paying anything, these big non-resident tech companies. Now, 9 times out of 10, when somebody is doing, you know, their business with Amazon, business with eBay or what have you, you know, that's a small time, but is eBay paying? Is eBay paying in your state revenue that they've made in your state? We're not just talking sales tax, we're talking revenue. Because see, eBay has this markup, and every time you sell something, they still charge you for sales tax if they pay that. But eBay is making money in your state, and they're not paying taxes on the revenue as a non-resident. And so this is where I've been telling these state legislators that if a company chooses to be a non-resident revenue maker in your state, then make them pay have a higher tax rate for non-resident corporations, just like non-resident tuition. What we want to do is we want to force these companies that want to do business with the web, Google and the rest of them, to actually start hiring and having, you know, the presence so that they actually are both employing people as well as paying the taxes that they should be paying. Anyway, we've got a lot more to cover. We're going to be doing marketing for the rest of the week before we get into the ratification debates, and we'll talk more about that in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.